Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaska's schools plan to move forward with a soft opening later this month. And the state of Alaska's primary election is just 12 days away. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Thursday, August 6th, 2020. The Unalaska School Board voted to adopt the school district's Smart Start 2020 plan at its meeting last night. The district will submit the plan to the state tomorrow, and according to UCSD Superintendent John Conwell, the state says they are hoping to return the plan with feedback within 24 hours. After months of planning and revision, Unalaska's schools will reopen to students according to the criteria laid out in the plan. However, Conwell notes plans are subject to change, as this is a shifting situation dependent on several factors, including the city's coronavirus risk level.
It could change depending on the circumstances on the ground here. I mean, things can change any day and sometimes by the hour, but I feel good that we have the board's support with the plan that's been put together over the last several months.
To help navigate that fluidity, the board decided to create a COVID-19 advisory committee, which will be made up of various stakeholders, including teachers, staff, students, administrators, and one board member. The board also voted to revise its pandemic and epidemic emergencies policy, which was created in 2009 in response to the H1N1 pandemic. The revision would allow Conwell the authority to make certain decisions without prior approval from the board.
What the revision does is gives the superintendent some authority to, you know, make decisions based on sort of changing circumstances. Should the community shift into the high risk threshold, that would give the superintendent the authority to move the district into home-based education, you know, without getting pre-authorization from the board.
Finally, board members adopted an administrative regulation regarding additional COVID-19 related employee leave. The regulation provides the school district guidance on how to administer that extra leave time. High school principal Jim Wilson also said that the school will hold a cross-country meeting this Monday, August 10th. While all travel for sporting events have been suspended, the district still plans to hold some intramural activities. And coming up tomorrow, KUCB will hold an interview program with John Conwell, Jim Wilson, and Eaglesview Elementary principal Chad Eichenlob. We'll talk with them about additional details of the district's plan to open later this month and the measures that will be in place to protect students, staff, and teachers. The program will air tomorrow at noon, rebroadcasting at 5 p.m. here on 89.7 FM. In the wake of recent tsunami warnings across coastal Alaska, and especially here in Unalaska, where over half of the city's tsunami sirens aren't functioning, emergency preparedness has been on the minds of many Alaskans. And while many people became amateur preppers, hoarding rolls of toilet paper, Clorox wipes, and rice as the COVID-19 pandemic swept across the globe, much of that prep work appears trivial when juxtaposed with losing running water, electricity, and shelter. KUCB's Maggie Nelson spoke with a couple of local professionals to get some advice on how best to prepare for natural disasters, such as a tsunami, and how to prepare a proper emergency pack.
This is a tiny little roll of duct tape. So if I was running out of my house with, and I could take three things, I would take duct tape, my life straw, and a safety pin. Duct tape is my pride and joy.
That was Sarah Spelsberg. She's a physician assistant at Aluluk Family and Health Services and a fellow of the Academy of Wilderness Medicine. She has seen some pretty unforgiving natural disasters, After years of work with the San Miguel search and rescue team out of Colorado and surviving 2 weeks without power or water in a condo high-rise in Florida after a hurricane, Spelsberg says when it comes to emergency preparedness, it's best to stick to the basics, to consider your specific needs, and to focus on longevity.
You have to think about what the needs are of everyone in your evacuation group. Do you have an elderly person? Do you have a baby? You need to have enough to at least make it 2 weeks in your kit.
Spelsberg says she's got a hurricane kit back at home in Florida. But up here, she keeps a smaller bag, one she can grab and run up the hill with in the case of a tsunami or earthquake. Spelsberg's emergency pack is the size of a small hiking bag, one that might be good for a day trip. But it's got everything from waterproof matches and life straws to things as basic as emergency contact numbers in a plastic bag.
And this is sort of my catch-all, couple snacks that'll last forever. Extra mask because of COVID times. Bug spray, but just a little bit. Like, it's a bug spray wipe and a tiny little bottle of bug spray. Extra set of glasses because...
Patrick Shipp, Unalaska's fire chief and a former responder with the Texas Emergency Response Team, says even the most simple of reactions and plans can go amiss during emergencies when our minds and bodies go into shock.
One thing I've learned throughout all my 30 years of this is every well-thought-out plan is only as good until the first shot is fired, and then it's going back to memory. You know, okay, what did I do? You know, it's just a flashcard that spin in your head and say, okay, I've seen this situation before. Flip, 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 flip. I find that card, and I go, okay, this is what we did. Did that work? And then I flip to, okay, did that work? And what did we do to make that better? And it's just, you know, it happens in a split second.
For Shipp, a plan is one of the most important parts of being prepared for an emergency. But without practice, he says, it's essentially useless.
So you need to have a plan that encompasses, hey, we're not all together. Where are we going to meet? How are we going to communicate? How do I know you're okay? How do you know I'm okay? And those plans need to be in place, and you need to practice the plans. If you don't practice them, you know, you just wasted your time really just writing them down.
When I asked Shipp what three things he would grab if he had to run out of the door in an emergency, Shipp said his top three categories would be communication, like a radio, or even a simple plan to call someone off-island, dry clothing, and a food source. Spelsberg echoes his sentiments about communication and dry clothing, but for her, it all comes down to water, duct tape, and of course safety pins.
Kit, but I didn't have a safety pin. Had I had my safety pins, it would have been so much faster and more comfortable for them, and so I'm a big fan of safety pins, too.
And Spelsberg has good reason to advocate for them. She says with a safety pin, you can easily turn any clothing item into a sling or splint, which can create a much more comfortable situation, if not a life-saving one. Spelsberg and Shipp both have a lot of faith in the community of Unalaska when it comes to prepping for emergencies. Many people go camping and hiking regularly and know how to navigate backcountry on this island. And as Shipp notes, the locals around here are well-versed in tsunami warnings and precautions. Despite that, Shipp says it's best not to wait in the event of an emergency. If you see the signs of an approaching tsunami or the like, act. Get your pack and head to higher ground as soon as you recognize the signs of danger. Similarly, while the idea of packing for a natural disaster can be daunting, Spelsberg says not to be intimidated. She suggests looking online to find guides for packing your emergency bag, but also to reach out to her or other professionals versed in emergency preparedness for advice. Reporting in Unalaska, I'm Maggie Nelson.
We've got our complete clothing, whistle, insurance policy, emergency contact. Get those in.
Alaska's tally of confirmed COVID-19 cases rose by 46 yesterday, bringing the statewide total to 4,233. That includes residents and non-residents who have tested positive for the virus. There have been 144 hospitalizations since the pandemic hit Alaska in March and 25 deaths. Meanwhile, as of yesterday afternoon, there have been 97 positive cases of coronavirus in Unalaska. According to the city, none of those are attributed to community spread. 1,228 people have been tested at Aluluk Family and Health Services. The state of Alaska's primary election is scheduled for August 18th, just 12 days away. Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove sat down with KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman to discuss how to vote and what's different this year in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic.
First off, can you go over the different ways Alaskans can vote?
First is early voting, and that started on Monday. The polling locations and the hours are posted on the Division of Elections website. State Elections Director Gail Fanumiai says turnout has been light in early voting, so it could be a safe way to vote and avoid the lines on Election Day. Now, on Election Day, you have in-person voting. The primary election is Tuesday, August 18th. For both early voting and in-person Election Day voting, the division has provided personal protective equipment to both poll workers and to voters who go to the polls. There's also 6-foot distances that will be marked off on the floor so voters can maintain social distancing. Absentee vote by mail is the other option.
How do you get an absentee ballot?
First, you have to fill out an application, for one. There's a new application available on the Division of Elections website. You can also call or visit the division offices to request an application as well. There are offices in Juneau, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Nome, and Wasilla. But you have to apply soon for the primary. The division needs to have received the application by Saturday. So the safest way would be to apply online. But if that's not possible, you could try to mail it in tomorrow, or you could vote early in person and apply for an absentee ballot for the November 3rd general election.
Okay, for people who maybe are doing this for the first time, is there anything else voters should know about voting by mail?
You need to have a witness for when you sign and seal the envelope. The envelope says it should be an authorized official, or if an authorized official is not reasonably available, by someone who's 18 years of age or older. Division of Elections Director Fanumiai says that with the COVID-19 pandemic, it's reasonable to use a family member as the witness. Here's Fanumiai.
So if it isn't easy for someone to get to this type of official, you know, anybody over the age of 18 can witness their ballot.
And in Alaska, you don't need an excuse to vote by mail. And you can drop off absentee ballots at drop boxes in Fairbanks, Soldotna, Anchorage, and Wasilla. The mail-in ballots must be postmarked by Election Day or earlier.
Okay, so there's two different primary ballots. What are they?
One is for the Republican primary. The other covers all other parties. This year, that would be the Democratic and Alaska Independence parties. The reason why there's two is that the Republicans limit who's eligible to vote. Only registered Republicans, as well as undeclared and nonpartisan voters, can vote in the Republican primary. All registered voters can vote on the other ballot. But you have to choose one or the other, either when you apply for the absentee ballot or when you vote in person. While there is a public record that you voted and what your party affiliation is, there isn't a record of which primary ballot you voted on. So you don't have to worry about that.
Is there anything else voters should know about the primary?
The results might take some time this year. On election night, the unofficial results that will be posted after the polls close will only include the early voting up through Thursday before Election Day and the in-person Election Day voting. All absentee ballots will be cross-checked against who voted in person to ensure that no one voted twice. Fanumiai says that when that's happened in the past, it's been unintentional, such as an older voter who forgot they sent an early absentee ballot in. Absentee ballot counting will start on August 25th. That's a week after the election. The deadline to certify the results is September 2nd, when the ballots are sent to the printer.
And that's the primary election. Remind us, when is the general election, Andrew?
November 3rd.
That was Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove speaking with KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman. In Unalaska, in-person voting will be available at City Hall on Election Day, but things will look slightly different this year in order to provide for social distancing and to protect both voters and election workers. According to city officials, in-person early and absentee voting was supposed to begin at City Hall this week, but the ballots and other voting materials have not yet arrived. The city will notify the community when the materials are received so that early and absentee voting may begin. That will be at City Hall by appointment only. Alternatively, you can request that the state of Alaska mail a ballot to you. That request must be submitted no later than this Saturday, August 8th. Visit the state's website at absenteeballotapplication.alaska.gov to make your request. Again, that's absenteeballotapplication.alaska.gov. And Alaska's DMV reopened yesterday. It had been closed since mid-July. The office will once again be open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. till 4, by appointment only. And coming up this weekend, KUCB will hold its 2020 Aleutian Tundra Golf Classic in Pyramid Valley. For details or to sponsor, email KUCB General Manager Lauren Adams at lauren@kucb.org. Again, that's lauren@kucb.org. And stay tuned for an episode of Foggy Island Discs, where we ask Unalaskans what five songs they'd choose if they were stranded on a Bering Sea island. Today, we're hearing from Sharon O'Malley. That's up after the Anungan Word of the Week and NPR News. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.